The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. Welcome to Adjunct, where we interview the top advertising lecturers and professors across the country to lend some knowledge to your ear without spending thousands of dollars on a university credit. This week, we learn from Mark Jensen. Mark Jensen is a lecturer at the University of Minnesota Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Probably one of the nicest guests I've ever had on the show. His passion and kindness exude in this episode, as you can tell two things. First, he knows how to help students break in advertising. Second, he loves what he does. We had a great conversation. We discussed whether or not aspiring advertisers should pursue a master's degree, how to develop a portfolio, and the importance of client experience and networking. Mark joined the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication faculty full-time in 2018. He joined after 35 years of building brands at ad agencies in Chicago and Minneapolis. He has led marketing communication efforts for an all-star list of companies: ConAgra, General Mills, Johnsonville Sausage, Kraft, Land O'Lakes, Medtronic, Pillsbury, Polaris, and Tropicana. Before joining UMN, he served as a VP account director at Preston Kelly in Minneapolis. His other agency experience includes Leo Burnett and Foot Conan Building in Chicago. Mark has been an adjunct instructor at the University of Minnesota for 15 years, teaching the capstone course and other strategic communication classes. He is a rock star, and I can't wait for you to learn from him. So I've spoken to hundreds of professionals, and the consensus is that you need a few fantastic campaigns that stick out to break into advertising. If you want to break into this business as an art director, copywriter, strategist, or even account, it is worth checking out Breaking and Entering's brand new Crowbar Awards. We are releasing a new creative brief every quarter for you to work on with a friend. Whether or not you enter is up to you, but we do have Greg Hahn judging this first show. Co-founder of Mischief, he's one of the top agency leaders in the business today. The award is also a tool. The best campaign will earn an actual blue crowbar, and we do not advise you to break into an advertising agency with it, but if you do, take some pictures, because that's pretty funny. All in all, recruiters and professionals across the industry will be watching the winners. So, see the description for details. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast Adjunct Edition, and as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. Right, Mark Jensen, welcome to the Breaking and Entering Adjunct Podcast. How are you doing today?
Great, Gino. Great to see you post-holidays as we wrap up 2022.
That's right. I'm excited to talk with you, Mark, because you're a lecturer at the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota. Is that correct?
That is correct. A fellow Big Ten lecture as you were a student at the University of Illinois. So glad to be talking to a Big Ten counterpart.
That's right. Love the Big Ten. Love what's going on there. So I can't wait to get more of a glimpse into your program, how you're running the show and the ad club too, it seems like we mentioned before. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Gotcha. So we'll talk about that and what you're telling your students in the classroom so we can get some advice to the people in the world. So let's kick it off from the top though. Tell us about you and your role there.
Yeah, thanks, Gino, for having me on. Glad to be here. And I have been a lecturer at the Hubbard School for 5 years full-time. I came out of the industry after 30-plus years working in Chicago agencies like Burnett and Footcone, and here in Minneapolis, Campbell Methuen and Martin Williams, and was at Preston Kelly, now Preston Spire. And I also was an adjunct, taught as an adjunct for 13 years. So teaching's kind of always been something that I wanted to pursue. I first started teaching when I was 30 as an adjunct, and it was, you know, pretty interesting. I did not have a teaching degree. I had a master's degree from Northwestern in advertising and came over here and taught and just loved it and have always kept it as something that I've wanted to do.
Okay. So we can break that down for a little bit here, but I want to get into your professional experience. How did you break into advertising?
I broke in basically because I went to Northwestern Medill School of Journalism, got my master's, had a ton of interviews right on campus. Started my career as an assistant account manager at Campbell Methuen, working on some General Mills cereals products back then. And just progressively worked up the account management ladder and really enjoyed that part of the business. It's something that I've always liked. I love the business aspect of advertising and the creative aspect of advertising. It really brings two things together that I really, really like.
What's the deal with the master's degree? Did you know you wanted to teach down the line, or did you think that was a shortcut, easier to break into? I mean, Northwestern's already one of the best schools in the world. Big Ten, educated.
Really was about breaking into the business. I was really lucky to take a summer class over in London at the University of London. And we met with lots of agencies and media companies and film companies. And I talked to the agency people there and they just kept saying, you know, why don't you get a master's degree? It'll give you a little bit more background. And it really helped both from a professional maturity and a business maturity. I graduated with my master's degree at 22. So I was still pretty young, and it just was it really helped me get into the business. It opened up so many doors, the Northwestern degree.
What was your undergrad major then? What was your bachelor's?
I graduated from the University of North Dakota. I'd had a bachelor's degree in journalism and also in speech, which was an emphasis on radio and television. My early dream as my career was to be Howard Cosell. If you remember who Howard Cosell was, maybe you don't, Gino, but he was a sportscaster. I loved sports, and that was something that I really liked. And the more I took some advertising classes, my passion kind of turned that I wanted to get into advertising.
What was your favorite sports team growing up?
Favorite sports teams? Well, growing up in North Dakota, you don't have any professional teams. So I was not typically a Minnesota fan growing up. I have become one since I've lived here for so many years. Yep. I liked the Yankees because I was able to see Mickey Mantle play. I got Mickey Mantle's autograph at the first game I went to. I still have it today. I like the Oakland Raiders because I knew one of the wide receivers, Fred Biletnikoff, his wife was from my English teacher in my little school.
Oh, so cool.
Really small connections with teams that are not always the most well-liked teams. Over time, I'm become a diehard Minnesota fan, the Twins, the Vikings, the Gophers, etc.
I love it. Do you know Bill Veeck, from the White Sox?
Absolutely. Yes. I used to live in Chicago, so I remember the Veeck era. And we have Mike Veeck in town who owns St. Paul Saints. So Mike is Bill's son. And if you ever want to look up a terrific minor league program, it's the St. Paul Saints. They were independent for many years, and they have become the AAA affiliate of the Twins. So they are literally 10 minutes away from Target Field when they want to bring in minor league players.
Interesting. I why I bring that up is I remember in high school learning about Bill Veeck. I don't know too much. I think there's a book, but he's like a great sports marketing promotion artist, coming up with like experiential activations really for like the White Sox and he had a peg leg. I think just so captivating, and it actually got me sparked into advertising even earlier. I think my sophomore or junior year of high school, we had a professor or a teacher that was really passionate about that. So I should probably buy that book, but
you should. Here's for you to buy his son's book, Mike Veeck.
Okay.
It's called Fun is Good. And he is a promoter like his dad. The Saints do every crazy type of in-between inning things that goes on. I mean, they have a pig.
P-I-G. Got it.
P-I-G that brings out the balls to the umpire.
Yeah.
That the stuff they do. And they have crazy names for it. So it'll be like Brett Favre or, you know, they just every year they come up with a contest where people can send in their names. So.
You know, those minor league minor leagues teams go crazy. They have so many promotions that are interesting. They'll change the uniforms because they can, and they need to bring people in. So that's also a fun little route to go. But back to you. Do you recommend, switching the subject here, do you recommend now today, like, students get a master's degree to break in?
I don't think you need a master's degree to break in. You know, I think it's all dependent on the student and where they're at in their careers. I felt I needed it from a maturity aspect. I still felt I was young. I felt I needed more experience, more exposure. So it helped me. But that does not mean everybody should get one. I think it always is an individual decision. There are so many students like you that come out of undergraduate with a BA or BS or whatever and get great jobs. So at that point, unless they want to do something further in their careers, a master's is not a requirement by my eyes. But I have a lot of students will ask that question. And we always have a handful every year that are going to go pursue a master's degree of some type. So
I'm definitely looking into like a 1-year online program. Just something quick, mainly because I want to break into academia down the line. It's usually required. And we notice in times when the economy is down and jobs are hard to find, we notice education will increase. People will turn back to education while they're struggling to make ends meet or to find a job. We see that in portfolio schools. We see that in master's degrees, which we can get into in a little bit. So it's not definitely necessary, but it can't hurt. If you can afford it and you have the time and you can find a good 1-year program that's relatively cheap comparatively, it can't hurt. It's definitely not needed for the creative side. Not needed for the creative side. But if you want to go into account, perhaps strategy, or you want to teach down the road, I think those are probably the areas that will be beneficial. Or even if you want to break into the brand side, client side down the line, if you want to go work for Kellogg's, if you want to go work for P&G and be a marketer or a CMO down the line, then now you're talking, that will help you out. That will probably differentiate you.
Yeah, my adage is education is something they can't take away from you.
That's right. So
by getting an advanced degree, it's only going to help you. But again, it's always individual situation. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's timing of life.
Of course.
But absolutely, I encourage it. I just don't think it has. It's not a have to be. Yep. It's more about if you want it to be.
What other masters? I mean, if I studied advertising undergrad, what would pair well? What would complement what would complement that advertising undergrad? What type of master's should I look into?
Yeah, I think one school that I talk a lot about is VCU, the Brand Center. They've got a terrific master's program out in Richmond, and it's
which is great for creatives. That is a portfolio school, which is a master's degree.
Right.
That also would be something that a strategist, a art director, or a copywriter should definitely look into if they can afford it. It's expensive, but
Oh, absolutely, it's a very expensive school. Strategy, I've had lots of students. I know a lot of graduates from VCU and that are account planners, account strategists.
Yeah, it's the bread and butter.
Yeah. Medill is a terrific program. It's a well-rounded program in terms of integrated marketing communication. Mm-hmm. And they have different levels of programs. I mean, when I went, it was a 1-year program. I think they also have 2-year programs, depending on what your undergraduate degree has been and how fast you want to go through the program.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Jerry Chiaro, I think his name is.
Okay.
I'm trying to get him on the podcast. So, good. I think we touched on this pretty well. I was thinking, like, is there something more interesting, like majoring in, like, or master's in English, master's in something different, like a psychology? I don't know how it works. I haven't looked into it yet. Like, is there something, like, odd degree that could be interesting to recruiters that you're interested in that can make you an even better marketer? That's not your traditional strategic brand communications.
A great question. One degree that I'm going to throw out, it's actually, I've had a couple of students that have went to our Carlson School of Business here at Minnesota, and it's a master's in data analytics. We all know how important analytics is, and they've done exceptionally well. One of them is now an insight strategist at TikTok, for example, and it's because of her degree. She had an undergraduate degree with us. And she went, continued to work, and then she got a master's in data analytics. And that's an area that's just, it's so robust right now and will only continue in our digital space. So whether you're an account person or you're a strategist, a media person, to have analytics in your background is going to be really smart.
Great ad. Didn't even think about that. Mainly because I'm nervous and I'm scared of that, but definitely go with it head on if you can. For me, that does seem intimidating. But that's okay. All right. Tell me about the structure of the University of Minnesota. If I'm a freshman ad student, what does the journey look like for me? Just high level, because not everybody is as interested as I am, but I'm curious. I want to get out there. Freshman to senior year, What's it look like? Are you majoring in it? It's in the School of Journalism. Give me the high level specs of what I might experience.
Yeah. So if you're coming in as a freshman at the University of Minnesota, you are not admitted to our program right away. You come in through the College of Liberal Arts, so that's psychology and English and literature, languages, et cetera. And then you have to apply to our school. You have to apply to the Hubbard School of Journalism, Mass Communication. And students then, we look at the students, we admit the students that are ready and have displayed, you know, good academic performance. They have to do some writing samples, so we kind of know what they're like. And they get admitted to the program. And then they typically, a lot of them will get admitted the second half of their freshman year or the first half of their sophomore year. Mm-hmm. Transfer students will come in there also. So they'll spend, you know, 2.5 to 3 years in our school. And it's the very typical programs, a lot of fundamentals, whether it's context classes or skills classes. They really get a pretty robust area. In strategic communication specifically, they can take more public relations classes or they can take more advertising classes. We're both under the same umbrella, but they can take different classes depending on where their interests lie.
What minors do you see? Like, so you can major in advertising.
Yep.
And then what minors do you see a lot of these students picking up?
Media design, graphic design, media studies, communications, nice. A lot of, you know, extra things. Lots of students will take things through our Carlson School and get a management minor or a marketing minor or things nice. Like that. So more and more students are definitely having minors. It's not just that major class. They're having mm-hmm. other things to give them additional.
Supplement. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I did a PR minor.
Yeah.
That was really helpful. I do PR now. So
yep.
There's no PR major at Illinois. So, and I know some schools combine it. So that's good to know. Gotcha. Tell me about the creative track development. Let's say I want to be an art director or copywriter.
Yeah.
This is where I notice a lot of undergrads kind of struggle. How do you like tackle the portfolio development? Are there skills classes? What is the system looking like? And then what are you doing to help them on the side if there isn't that fleshed out curriculum per se?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a specific creative track. Mm-hmm. So we have a bunch of creative classes that they can take. Several writing classes. I teach one of the intro classes. It's a 3,000 level ad strategy creative development. So it's probably the first class where we're writing briefs, creating a lot of content.
Good.
And from that, the next class that they'll typically take as a senior is a portfolio class. So it's taught by one of our other instructors, art director background.
Nice. Who's that?
Her name's Jennifer Johnson. She worked in the industry.
Nice.
And it's great to have, you know, a professional do that. One benefit that we have is we are in a great creative community given our size, and we're literally 5 minutes away from downtown Minneapolis. So we can have come down and we can talk about that a little bit more, but yeah, it's the access that people have to the creative community is fantastic here. So that's really kind of what students do. And for me, from a portfolio development, Gino, my classes are not specifically portfolio development, but pretty much any assignment that I develop is in the back of my head. It's all about how will this help the students build their portfolio? So
good.
I'm great. Actually building it, but every assignment is a real world assignment. It's a piece that they can take and put in their portfolio if it's a strong enough piece. I mean, if it's a C work piece, you're not going to put it in there. But if it's an A+ job, then you put it in.
That's great. As long as you're communicating that to your students, because not every student realizes that they need to have this portfolio by the time they're graduating because the job search is on. Usually it's when they graduate, they realize, oh shit, I need to make my portfolio. So that's super important to let them know. It probably is beneficial to let them know freshman year.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are doing, but give them, like, show them a VCU book freshman year. Like, hey, just to let you know, if you want to get in these positions, this is the caliber of work you need to create before you graduate.
Yep. We show a lot. I show a lot of portfolio examples, whether it's professional examples, stuff from the Chicago Portfolio School, from Jeff Epstein, BCU. Yep. Anytime I see somebody's portfolio floating around, I, you know, save it, share it, And it's important. And it's not, you know, people, when they hear the word portfolio, I stress, it's not just a creative world anymore, everybody. You got to have a portfolio, whether you're in account management, whether you're in media, whether you're in account planning, you need to demonstrate work. And you can do it electronically so much easier today.
Yep.
So take advantage of that. And that,
interesting take.
Yeah, most people struggle with that word portfolio. They don't know what to do. So that's by showing examples, it kind of gives them a flavor for what exactly a portfolio is.
I think that you're one of the first people to come on this podcast ever to say that everybody needs a portfolio besides the portfolio schools.
Yep.
This is interesting because I always hinted that account is soon going to need it.
Oh,
and we might be there now, just like with you and people I've talked with. Usually it's your art directors and copywriters. Strategist has recently adopted this from BCU, but to say account and media need it is really, you're at the forefront now of this perspective.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to acknowledge that, because before, when I was in school, account folks never needed it.
Yeah.
It's advantageous to have it. It can only help you out if you do have, really, they're looking for 5 to 6 campaigns that are good, fleshed out, diversified with different placements, not just your print ads. You want social active. They want social. They want activations. They want, PR headlines too, TikToks, any videos that you could have. That's what they're looking for. And if you're an account person, you can set that background up and you can share the same story. And maybe you can throw in another flair of, like, if it was a real account, if there was any business results too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you said it. You said advantageous. It's like a point of difference.
Yep.
If you're an account person and you have a portfolio electronically that somebody can go look at versus somebody that's just sending in their resume, the portfolio is going to work a lot harder for you, because people want to see what you did. They don't want you to just talk about what you did at school. Show me what you did at school.
Perfect. Exactly. And there's also a point of difference here. If you want to do an account portfolio, it is going to look different from a strategy, art director, and copyright portfolio, mainly because of the word spec work.
Yep.
You want good spec work for as a creative path. You want larger brands that recruiters know about that you can make a difference for. It can't be Apple. It can't be Nike, because those are already the best in the world. You're not going to beat a TBWA Shiat Day, and you're not going to beat a Wieden Kennedy. Only thing you can do is float with them, and then it won't look different.
Yeah.
For the most part. You pick a brand.
With that perspective, Gino, because everybody always says, I'll just put an Apple. You can't beat the best.
Right.
So pick a brand that's a little bit under the radar, those underdog brands or underdeveloped.
Challenger. Yep.
And you can make a huge difference in your spec work. So
Love it. I totally agree with you on that. But now, that's for spec work, which is kind of, we talked about that a lot on this podcast for our frequent listeners, so they should know that. But if you're going account, then it gets different, because you want real clients if you're an account person. I want to know, if I'm a recruiter, me personally, and you want to work for Havas Chicago, I want to know, who have you actually worked with? Let me get on the phone with that marketing representative. And that's where I don't care as much if it's a local client. If you have like a local coffee shop, I don't mind that as much. I like it to be bigger if possible, but I want to see real results and how you, and call them up and ask, hey, what was the relationship like? Were they good? Were they following up with you? How'd they communicate? So that's my take. Does that align? Maybe that's something that you can take.
Yeah, I think definitely the more real work you have, the stronger the portfolio is, but some students don't have that example. So I always say, take the work from your classes. And if you have developed some really strong strategic work in your classes, or you were part of a team that developed a campaign, share those examples.
Yeah.
Because people want to see what you can do rather than just hear what you can do in an interview. So, some people have had great experiences and some people are a little lighter in that area. So I say, okay, what's the 3 best examples from your classes? What are the 3 best pieces of work, or 4 or whatever, and put those into your portfolio.
Yeah. And I think also, if you can bring in some clients for it, this is where it gets tricky. If you can bring in some interesting clients at a larger scale, then it'd be advantageous for everybody, your account folks, and your account director, sorry, your creative folks and your account folks, they'll benefit if it's a real larger client. But if you get a smaller nonprofit, it's only going to benefit your account folks and not so much your creatives, because it's going to be hard. So it's a balance, right? Oh,
absolutely. I think one of the classes I teach, it's a typical capstone at any school. It's a campaigns class. So it works on a campaign. I'm really lucky to live in this market. So I reach out to a lot of people that I know. So this past fall, we worked with General Mills.
You did it.
We worked on the 4 student groups in my class, worked on Old El Paso.
Nice.
We had 3 meetings with the client. The final presentation is to the client. And at the end of the class, they have that final presentation experience, but they also have a 100-plus page book that they can bring into an
100 pages.
Plop on a desk. Yes, we have a pretty good requirement for that. Jeez. And it is, it's a terrific thing. I've had so many students come back and tell me, when I take that book in and put it on an interviewer's desk, it changes the interview, because
it's every part of it, research to executions.
They do it from beginning to end.
What are the team sizes?
How do you... 4 to 5, depending on the class size.
What does the account person do in that class?
Each team will typically have a creative person on it, and a couple of account people. There tends to be more advertised PR account folks. Mm-hmm. Somebody that's interested in media, I let them determine their areas they want to go into. A lot of them will say, I'm only going to do this. A lot of them will work on everything across the spectrum. But it really is all about collaboration, because it is totally mimicking a new business process that they would have in an agency. Longer time frame, but certainly the same process. So
that's a new business role. You can literally use that to break into a new business, which is an area I neglected on this podcast, actually. And I work in new business, so I should probably get some more new business folks. That's a good reminder. I love it. Send me some of those books of people that need jobs. Well, we have an internship opening up, I know, at Havas, probably by the time this is posted. So
cool.
Great. And you did it. You did a great job, because you got a larger client. I know there are some organizations that will give you, or there's some schools, there's some capstone projects that do these small local coffee shops. Yeah. And I just, as a recruiter, as somebody that's in the field, who's talked with hundreds of students, it's not going to cut it. Unless you come up with a world-changing idea to sell local coffee.
Yeah.
I don't think you will. Or I won't care if it's a local brand I've never heard of. Just being real. And it could waste time. And time is so precious for these students, because they usually don't figure out what they want to do till junior, maybe senior year. And then, you got breaks, and it's really a matter of months then. And time is so precious to develop that portfolio and to get all those necessary skills.
I totally agree. I really am a proponent of having, as you know, big real world clients, and especially to give the students the experience of dealing with somebody who's working at a General Mills, a 3M, a Best Buy, Red Wing Shoes. I mean,
we're
so lucky to be in this market, and I tap into all those clients. Mm-hmm. They love the process. They like to see the young energy, and how does somebody from this generation look at how the market is going and the communication ideas.
We appreciate their perspective too. Yep. We ask them to bring it when you get hired or you're interning, because that's what you're there for.
Yep.
And I noticed at Havas Chicago, these kids, when I say kids because I'm the same age, but them especially, like the new creatives, are so vocal. They're unafraid, and they'll put their perspective out. I was always intimidated, imposter syndrome. It seems like that's gone, like with the creatives that we hired, maybe because that's who we picked and the recruiters are so great, but they're picking people that will step up and sing karaoke at our holiday party, for one, and not care. And two, they're going in our all agency meetings and stepping up and volunteering and saying that we need to engage in these strategies on TikTok.
Yeah.
We need to stop using these slang words in the office, let's say, to change our culture, because it's inappropriate or we don't. So they will step up, and it's amazing. So your students, I mean, that should also motivate them to be themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I talk about it a lot. I mean, the reason that companies hire young professionals is to hear your point of view. They don't need you to sit in the corner and be quiet. They need you to bring something to the party. They're hiring you for a reason. So make sure you can contribute as frequently as you can. You will get noticed if you contribute.
Yep. And I always say you should show up if you are getting a job virtually or like in a hybrid setting. I've showed up 100% of the days, actually, mainly because I'm a little crazy, but it has helped me. It helps me stand out. So I definitely, it's another little trick to just to show up on the days that you need to and maybe more. Because on Friday, when Myra Nussbaum, the president of Chicago, comes in after a holiday party and sees me there, she's like, "What are you doing here?" I go, "What are you doing here?" And we're smiling. And it does help.
It is about visibility. I mean, certainly when I started in the business, you had to be there every day. And yes, we live in a hybrid world, but let me tell you, the students, young professionals that are in the office more frequently, they're getting a lot more recognition because they're visible. Exactly what you said, the little hallway conversation with your agency president. You don't get that on Zoom. So be there and take advantage of those opportunities. That's smart. Very smart, Gino.
Thank you. So what other advice do you have? Like, I could talk about thriving when you get in, but when you're looking at your students or when you're in that capstone class, what are some of those hallmark or key things that you're preaching every single year that seems to work? What are those main lessons?
Yeah, well, I think pieces of advice for their long-term career. I'll give you three things: network, network, and network. And you can't network enough. That's just so critical. So critical. Exactly what you're doing with this podcast, that's networking. You're getting to meet more people. That's what it's all about. Resume, making your resume full of great experiences, but don't just list your job experiences. Tell me what you did. How did you achieve results? Give me some tangible results. Every resume I look at for the first time, it's the first piece of advice that I give people. What did you do as that customer service representative? Or you
numbers?
No, give me some results. Really, really important. And then finally, experiences. Just build your resume with more and more experiences, all different types of things. Like some students a couple of years ago during the beginning of the pandemic had a tough time getting internships. And I kept saying, just go volunteer someplace. Go volunteer for a local pizza joint to do some social media for them. Get experiences wherever you can. I remember when I was in college back many, many years ago, I worked at Sears, a company that hasn't done very well recently. I sold paint in the hardware department. And the reason I did it is I was customer facing. I had to learn how to react to customers, which then would help me as an account manager. So I always looked for ways to deepen your experiences. Not everybody's going to have that perfect agency internship experience. So find additional ways to build your resume to make a difference. And finally, apply. Apply for internships. Apply for scholarships. Apply. You can't get something if you don't apply to something. So I really, really encourage applications of any type to get into places.
I love it. Students should apply to our new creative award called the Crowbar Awards. A little plug there. Description for that. But yeah, totally agree with all of what you're saying. And every experience you have, you can make it into a narrative. You can bend the narrative to help you break into advertising.
Yeah.
You can be a doctor. You could be a biology major. You can be somebody that went to law school for 2 years and dropped out. You can bend that narrative to help you with advertising because really lots of perspectives are needed in this industry. So the pizza joint, selling paint, just figuring out how to spin that and actually apply because there are lessons that you've learned that are super important to thrive in advertising.
Absolutely.
Great. Anything else? Did we not cover anything? Anything else you want to bring up, Mark?
I think we touched on it a little bit, and it's just the whole idea about, you know, what do I teach in the classroom? And I think it's so important to bring real world experience from my agency experience, having lots of guest speakers in. All my assignments, I really, again, try to make sure that it's a real world perspective. So if we're developing creative content in my ad strategy, creative development class, we're developing a TikTok, we're developing Facebook posts, we're doing everything that students can take out and show in addition to doing videos and print and et cetera.
Love it.
The other thing I love to do is every class period, I start by sharing any jobs or internships that I'm aware of. So we have 28 class periods for each semester. they get multiple opportunities to apply to things. So when you have a chance, send me, make sure I see the Harvest thing, and I'll make sure that gets published in our classes. And I think the important thing is sharing content. So I love to share a lot of content with my students. Our system, our learning management system, is Canvas. I don't know if you're familiar with the Canvas system, but for every lecture, I have 4 industry articles
that are
relevant and updated, and I have 4 interviewing and job tips articles. So I'm giving students constant content about things like that, telling them about great books that are coming out. Cameron Day, you know who Cameron Day is. He has written a couple of really terrific books for entry-level advertising, how to break into the business. He's going to be a guest speaker in one of my classes in April. Telling about
connect me.
Okay, absolutely. I will connect Cameron Day. He has written he's written 2 out of a series of 3 books, and it's called The Advertising Survival Guide. The first one is all about breaking into the business. So if that rings a bell. And then I think, Tom is a terrific book called Junior out of White and Kennedy. Of course, podcasts. I love sharing podcasts. So I'll share Breaking and Entering. Another podcast that I love to share is The Brief Brothers with Howard Ibach and Henry Gomez.
I've never heard of that.
Well, I'm going to make sure you hear about that one, because that's another good one. A lot of great speakers on
The Brief Brothers.
The Brief Brothers. That's what it is. Yep.
Good to know. Love it. Sharing resources that are up to date, as well as the tried and true agency theories, advertising theories, makes a lot of sense. It's a good combination, a good healthy balance that sometimes it gets weighed on one side of the scale.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you and academia at Minnesota, you're putting a balance back to theory versus application in real world, which is a really, really healthy balance that is a perfect mix to help your students out. So congrats to you. Your students are very lucky to have you. It's just now a matter of those students reaching out to you and getting those resources and following up and not being a bother, but being persistent so you can help them out. And I'm sure you know how to do that very well. I could do the same. They can always reach out to me too. So Mark, how can my listeners now, and here we go, we got the golden gopher.
Yeah, it's instead of Elf on the Shelf, we got Goldie on the Shelf today is what we're going to do.
Gotcha. There you go. We'll put this on the Instagram if I remember. How can people reach out to you if they want to get some advice for portfolio review? I don't know, whatever else students need.
Well, happy to have students reach out to me. LinkedIn, I've got lots of opportunities. So just reach out to me on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Email is jenso001@umn.edu. I'm happy to talk to people.
Perfect. Well, this has been great. Thank you for giving us some insight on how you teach, what you teach, and the advice that you give. So, Mark, it's been a pleasure. Thank you again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gino, for the opportunity, and good luck to you throughout your career at Harvest and wherever it goes from there.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode of the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. If you like what you heard, it would mean a lot to us and help us grow and get better guests and better break-ins if you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us 5 stars and a small review if you have the time. Be sure to connect with our guests if you like what they said by going to our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod. That's all one word, Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram. We have links to their portfolios and their LinkedIn, and they want to connect, so do that. And thank yous. Thank you to Mikey Malarkey, our audio engineer, and Bujun Jung, our creative director. Can't do without you two, and a team from the University of Illinois. It's a student team from the agency called AdBuzz. They're a PR agency, and it's been a pleasure working with them. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week with another amazing guest.